ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति। We have to start now this in the second chapter of the Vedanta Pandit book. The topic we have to start is human species. The previous topic that we saw is the composition of the world. There he discusses about the mineral kingdom, vegetable kingdom, animal kingdom, and human kingdom. Of which mineral kingdom has no life. They have no life and just some physical form is there without life. And definitely there is no emotion, there is no thinking, there is no thoughts, nothing. When you come to vegetable kingdom, they have a physical form and they have very few traces of emotions. They have physical form, they have life. Traces of emotions you can see, which practically we can say they don't have emotions. Definitely they don't have the capacity to think. Vegetable kingdom are tremendously dependent upon the world. Now, when there is a river or a lake about just 30 meters away from the plant can't go up to the river or the lake and help itself. Plant is dependent upon the outside world to get the water to the plant. So, when you come to animal kingdom, they have life, they have a physical form, and they have emotions, they don't have the thinking capacity. When we say that, they have a rudimentary thinking capacity. They don't have a developed or good enough thinking capacity like human beings. And animals are relatively less dependent compared to plants. They can walk up to the river, lake and drink water. You know, they can migrate to find their, way to survive. Whereas plants can't do that. They can't migrate. So, animals are relatively more independent, but they are also dependent. They are very emotional. When they are impulse, like for example, they get the impulse of hunger. They can't control that. They can't say, I will not eat today. So therefore, animals are emotional. They have emotions and they're emotional. They have very, very little capacity to think. For all practical purposes, we can say they don't have any ability to think. When it comes to human being has life, physical form, emotions and a very good capacity to think and even posit divinity, contemplate upon the higher. How many human beings are able to control their emotions? That is independent. But they have the potential to control the emotions. They have the potential. So therefore, having discussed this, then he say amongst the human beings, the next topic is going to say that, amongst the human beings, there are people like mineral, there are people like vegetables, there are people like animals, there are people like human. Very rarely you find a person who is like human. And amongst that, very, very rare is a person who goes and finds the self within and realizes the self and becomes a God-man. God-man in the sense, self-realized soul, Siddha Pragya. So that is what he's talking about in this topic, the human species. So, who would like to read? You have, both of you have a book, right? Do you both have a book or you don't?
Guruji, I don't have. I have the book. Is it chapter 3, Life, Its Curse?
No, chapter 2.
We did mineral and all.
No, in chapter 2, you have to do the topic, the human species.
Species, yeah.
Shall
I read?
Yes.
Okay. The human species. Am I clear?
Yes.
The universe is a composite structure with an orderly system. It resembles a colossal spiral tapering to a point. The concentric layers of the universe display a similarity. The macrocosm and the microcosm appear to be differing in magnitude. The forces operating in the cosmos are strikingly similar to those in an atom. The four seasons of the year appear in a miniature scale in the day. Spring as morning, summer as noon, autumn as evening, and winter as night.
So what he's saying is, there is a similarity between the macrocosm and the microcosm. What you see in the macrocosm is also the replica of it you can see in the microcosm also. That is what he's trying to say here. So differing in magnitude, that's all. The forces operating in cosmos are strikingly similar to those in the atom. So, he says the four seasons appear in a miniature scale in the day. Like, you know, spring, morning, summer, noon, autumn, evening, winter, night, etc. So, from that he is trying to say, just like how you have middle kingdom, vegetable kingdom, animal kingdom, human kingdom. Amongst the humans also, you can find some people are like mineral, some people are like vegetable, etc. Continue.
One would notice an analogous relationship existing between the world and a human being as well. The four kingdoms of the world, mineral, vegetable, animal, and human, appear to be faithfully reflected in humans. The nature of some humans resembles that of matter. Others are close to vegetation, yet others are akin to animals. Only a small fraction fits into the caliber of a human being, whereas it is difficult to find one in a generation who has reached supra-manhood, godhood.
See, all he's trying to say is, this human species has the potential to get to the self, to realize the self and attain the supra-manhood. But very seldom you find a person...
Guruji, what's that word? Supra?
Supra-man. Ra-man means just beyond human. You go and reach the center, the self, Atma, become self-realized. That's it. So, very, very rarely you find a person who even understands the potential. Forget actually realizing the potential. Just do you even understand that we have the capacity to not get involved in the world? The happenings of the world we can just go through without getting involved. The capacity is there. But very rarely you find such a person who can be objective. So, seldom are we living like human beings. Forget about realizing the self and all. Even as human beings, we are not living up to the potential of a human being. We are only born in human species. But we are living more like animals or vegetables or plants or minerals, some of us. Or sometimes we are like minerals, sometimes we are like vegetables, sometimes we are like animals. Very rarely we are behaving like humans. Most of the time like animals we are behaving. So therefore, we need to understand this and correct this. We got to ask ourselves, how much of a human being am I? I may be appearing in the human form, but how much of a human being am I? That question we need to ask. How much of my potential am I realizing and utilizing? Or am I just wasting it? See, the idea of all the scriptures is what? To learn, understand, and tap the potential. All of us have this potential within. But we need to tap it. We need to work upon it. But how many of us are working upon it? Nobody. Very rarely. There is gold mine inside. Inside the earth, you got to dig and go. Then we can extract the gold. But how many of us want to do that? First of all, nobody knows. Many people don't even know there is gold. And then when they come to know, they don't want to put in the effort. So that is what he's saying. You are much more than a gold mine. Like Jesus Christ says, the kingdom of heaven is within you. You're much more than a gold mine. But yet, you don't know. So therefore, try to understand. At least do something in that direction towards yourself. Continue.
The human species may be categorized thus under 5 distinct heads: mineral person, vegetable person, animal person, human person, god person. The classification is based mainly on the degree of their selfishness. Mineral persons are most self-centered. They are not conscious of others' existence, not concerned about the needs and welfare of other beings. As the species develop, drop their selfishness, they become more refined, more evolved, culminating in the totally selfless god person.
See, there are very few people in this category also. Not the majority who are in this category. Very few people who behave like mineral. A mineral person is, like you say, you know, depending upon the degree of selfishness, tamas, degree of me alone existing, that kind of a concept. They are completely oblivious to the other's existence and presence. So he says, they are extremely self-centered. They are not bothered about who's existing, who's not existing. They only think about themselves. That's the kind of deep tamas in which they are rooted in. Their ego is so well pronounced. So he says, they are not concerned about the needs and welfare of other beings. You know, a person who's grown up and is an adult now, but first thing in the morning he starts drinking, and then the whole day he's doing nothing except lying down on the ground. Wakes up again, drinks and lies down on the ground. What is he doing? He is living like a mineral only, isn't it? Minerals, what do? They are just existing. Similarly, these tamasic people, extremely, they don't care. They have a family, how to support them. There is not a single thought. Then they are like minerals only. They are so indifferent. That's the way in which a mineral person lives in this world. Extremely, extremely indifferent. And they can go to the extent of snapping others for their pleasures. So, in the sense, there is no awareness, there is no thinking, there is no emotion. All these are absent in mineral. You will find them also like that. What would you call a person who kidnaps a child and engages the child in begging and all other wrong activities? What would he call him? He is worse than mineral, isn't he? He is not bothered about the plight of the children, the plight of the parents. He is not, he is unconcerned. I have to use them, I have to get them. That's the thought that is mineral-like. That's what he's saying. You look at a person purely as a flesh and bone. You don't see them as somebody who's having life. They also have their emotions. They also have the freedom to live. Such an existence is mineral-like existence. That's what he's talking about. So whereas a person, as the person evolves slowly, slowly, becomes more unselfish, starts identifying with other people. So that's what he says, as the species develop, drop their selfishness, they become more refined. You don't find many people in this category, but you do find some. No? See, in the lowest category and in the highest category, you will find very few. In the vegetable animal, you will find a lot more. When it comes to human and God, little. Similarly, mineral also little. Majority is vegetable and animal. Continue.
Those in the mineral category are stone-like, gross and lethargic. And like matter, they hardly manifest any energy or activity. They are irresponsible, indifferent, heedless, and fail to react to the world. Remaining at the physical level, they merely gratify their senses and satisfy their personal needs,
even at the cost of their family, community or country. The nature of such persons is totally selfish. Note their traits carefully. Study and understand their character. It would help you to pull yourself up when your personality slips into those demeaning qualities.
So when we study the qualities, it is not for us to criticize others. We should understand that person is like mineral, which will help us to relate in a proper way with that person. Also, it will help us to look within and check how much of that quality is there in us. See, a silk tie, for example. Now, it's purely individual's choice. But because this is a class, I have to give some examples, explain the concepts I'm giving this. We are told that to make a silk tie or a silk sari or something made of silk, so many silk worms are put in boiling water. Like, now, even after knowing that, one needs to question, it automatically happened in us. Do I really need to wear such a tie? Well, if I need to wear a tie, fine. Can I not put in that little effort to find another option? The thought doesn't even come to certain people. That particular aspect is mineral like in them. They may have certain other qualities which are far superior. But the thought is not even striking. It's not even coming to you. You know? So, like, for example, certain videos that we have seen, how they torture the animals. It's not just eating meat. That's a separate thing. You don't find even animals doing that. To get some young meat, or whatever we call, the texture has to be soft and all that. But at the same time, they need to get more quantity of meat. What they do apparently when the calf is born, especially if the calf is male calf, they will make the calf grow without killing it. But it is made to grow just to put on some weight. At the same time, it's made to stand in one place, not allowed to sit. And not move about. If the calf moves about, the flesh will not stay soft. So we make the calf grow in such a way that they can get more meat also when they kill it, and they can get soft meat also. They are not talking about eating meat or not eating meat. Maybe for survival sometimes some people have to do it. That's a different matter. But the thought, why do we need to torture? They are so, emotionless. That sense it is. They're so emotionless. Extremely, extremely selfish. My pleasures. I can do anything I want. It's all matters. You understand? So that kind of a trait is selfish. Mineral. And when we see it in others, we will know how to relate with that person. Because we are now beginning to understand how they behave. Similarly, we have to check within to see in which areas we have such indifference. We might have certain indifference in such areas. So we need to check that. We are also mineral-like, oblivious to people's suffering. Basically, as you become more and more spiritual, you become more and more conscious. You do not want to destroy the environment, destroy others' lives for your survival. So as little damage as possible. because it's not possible to live without damaging. You understand? But as little possible. And since you are damaging a little bit, you will also contribute more. But when a person evolves, the ratio of contribution will be more than the consumption. But when you are in the lowest rung of the ladder, then your consumption will be maximum. Hardly any contribution. That's all he's saying. Because the middle man is so oblivious. He thinks only his pleasure is important. Nothing else matters. How much the other person will suffer? Nothing. So, somebody told me this, I don't know how far. No, it must be true, because they said they saw that lady. One lady was found in an NGO, an old lady. She had two sons, I believe. And one son was living a little far away in India, some other state. This guy in Ghaziabad was keeping his mother with him, younger one. And one day he told his mother that his elder brother passed away and made his mother believe in that. And she is in such a condition that she can't travel at all. So he said, yes, my younger brother, elder brother is passed away, and slowly, slowly he took away all the property from her, all the documents he made in his name. And then one day he said, let's go to Haridwar. And from Ghaziabad he drove her. On the way to Haridwar, he dropped her somewhere at the signal and left. And then someone found her on the road, and then admitted her in this NGO, you know, they're running this old age home. And the gentleman who attends my class, he met that lady. And then he was talking to that lady when she said this. They said there is a way in which now we can fight it back. You know, government will help you. You can get the property, everything back from your son. We can help you. For which apparently that lady said, it's okay, sir, anyway, he's my son only. You know, there are people like this, it's very hard to believe. Very, very hard to believe. So, that's what he's saying. Deep tamas, complete indifference, zero thinking, extreme selfishness. All this is nothing but a mineral person's trait. Continue.
The vegetable persons are a little less centered, but still everything they do centers around their self-centered desires. Their interest and attention revolves around their immediate family. Spouse and children are their altar. They do not see anything beyond the periphery of their home. They merely cater to the well-being of their family. Lost in the domestic unit, their interest does not go beyond it. They strive hard to stretch the world to suit the pleasures of their domestic circle. The world, however, cannot cater to the welfare of one family. In this struggle, they become mentally disturbed, unhappy.
So the vegetable person, his circle of identification is not just with himself, one's own ego. Slightly expanded to accommodate his immediate family. His wife, his children, his parents, maybe. Beyond that, he cannot think about anything else. So, that's what he's saying. The selfishness is still very well pronounced, but compared to the middle fellow, this person is far superior. At least, you know, there is a lot of sacrifice he does for the family. He identifies with his wife and kids. So, much better than the other fellow. But at the same time, he's stuck at the level of the family. He can't think anything beyond his domestic circle. That's it. The pleasures of the domestic circle alone matters. Nothing else matters. So that's the kind of people who will come as vegetable. Also the people who are more dependent on the world. Having less emotions outside that circle. More dependent on the world. That's the trait of a vegetable person. World cannot cater to such people all the time. See, world has to cater to everybody. So sometimes it caters to you, sometimes it caters to me.
Like more extrovertish people. Like extrovertish people. More extroverts. No, you're meaning that?
Person may not be extrovert in the sense, in which way you define extroversion matters. But generally when you say extroverted, means more going in the world, indulging in the world. Not necessary. He may be, he may not be. He may be a person who is slightly introverted. Introverted, not spiritual sense. No? Maybe not exploring the world or something like that. Not too resistant. But he can't think of anything beyond his family. Something outside the family happens, it doesn't affect him. You know? But when the same thing happens to his family, it affects. Some other family is going through the suffering, it doesn't affect him. Only it affects him if it's his own suffering. That is vegetable. When you come to the level of community and all, then they may go into the level of animal level. So that's what he's saying here. Vegetable person. See, vegetables only grow vertically, no? The plant kingdom grows vertically.
One direction.
So, there's unidirectional thinking, you know. Beyond their family, they can't think. Now, well, you have an obligation towards your family. But what stops you from having the feeling of oneness towards others? They are not saying that you have obligation towards everybody in your neighborhood. You have. In certain areas, you have obligation. But you have more obligation towards your children, your parents. Your husband, your wife. But that doesn't mean your feeling of identification should stop only with your family. You know? See, like, for example, you keep your house pick and span. But you will drink Coca-Cola in the car as you're driving and then throw the pet bottle on the road. Now, you won't do the same thing in your house. There you will throw it in the bin. But in the road you can throw anywhere you want. That sense. You know, just me, my family, slightly bigger circle than the middle kingdom. Middle kingdom is only me. They don't even care about the default. So there are fellows who know very well that the wife is saving some money for the education of the kids to pay the school fees. The fellow steals that money without wife's knowledge and go and drink. That fellow is a mineral fellow. They know very well that the money is for the kids' education. The fellow steals it and goes and drinks. Such characters are there. What would you say? That is mineral. Whereas the other categories, boundary is family. That's what he said. Continue.
The animal persons are also basically selfish. Their interest has crossed the precincts of the physical body and the family. They identify more with their caste or creed, clan or clique, class or community, and would cater to the welfare of those who belong to their fold. They are sacrificial to their own section and faction, but turn bitter to those beyond the boundary of their own group and clash with them. The angel metamorphoses into a devil. Thus, different groups are at war with one another. They breed discontent and disruption in society. The members of each group cause more pain to other groups than the pleasure they claim to give their own.
See, what he's saying is, this animal follows are those who only identify with their caste and community. Nothing more than that. That is where you find this honor killing and all that. They're so attached to their caste and community. Maximum to that level, they go. Slightly better than the mineral and vegetable. But they are also selfish. Basically, wherever there is a stagnation, the problem comes. In the case of an animal fellow, the stagnation is at the level of the community. Beyond the community, they are not bothered. Same community fellow, they are concerned. Other community, they don't care. That's the kind of behavior you will see. But like I said, the other traits, for example, vegetable is more dependent, animal slightly less dependent. Similarly, you will find the vegetable kingdom people little more active than the middle kingdom. Animal kingdom people are much better in terms of their action, but they are selfish. Similarly, the dependence level is also lesser compared to the vegetable person, but they are also different. Nothing happens to the community affects them. Nothing happens to other communities, they don't care. But when it happens to my community, I can't take it. The caste in my community. Beyond that, I can't think. It doesn't really matter. In that sense, you know, such people, they become bitter enemies of their own community in the sense. See, what happens is, they're so identified with their community. Like, for example, I gave you this honor killing. Initially, it will be like the father is so fond of the daughter. But the moment the daughter turned against him and saying, I'm going to marry somebody outside the community, he'll kill her. In the case of honor killing, that's what happens. So basically, he's the enemy. He's not the well-wisher. That's what he's saying. Beyond the boundary also, and within the boundary also, when they go on against, they turn enemies. This is a problem. That is animal kingdom. They are so selfish, they are constantly agitated and they create disruption within and without. So that's why in the end he says, the members of each group cause more pain to the other group than the pleasure they came to give their own. They cannot rest in peace. They are more disturbed fellows. Continue.
So Guruji, just a question, that way is vegetable a little more sattvic than animal?
No. Vegetable is also deeply tamasic.
Oh. But they're not showing like, they're not showing violence, so they're not like against.
No, who said violence? This is a bigger violence, no? See, to show violence, some kind of emotion should be there, no? They don't even have that emotion.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I told you, they can steal the money of their own family, just for the son's education, daughter's education, and for their pleasure, they can do that.
Yeah.
A fellow?
Yeah.
A fellow like Yudhishthira had that quality. Yudhishthira had this quality. He is mortgaging his entire family. That particular trait is mineral life. You have to be careful. It's not like he had that, no? Gambling. He mortgaged his wife. He mortgaged his brothers. He mortgaged his kingdom. What is that trait? That particular aspect is deeply tamasic.
Yes. So in the animal phase, we are more, we realize more.
See, animals,
we are less sunk in ourselves.
Huh?
But the animal person is higher than the vegetable person.
Definitely.
Okay.
The vegetable person is sunk. See, when you take the proportion of sattva rajasthams, in the case of a male fellow, there is hardly 1 or 2% sattva. About 80 to 90% tamas. You know? And if you say 90% tamas, 1% sattva, 9% rajas. This is vegetable man. Mineral man. You come to vegetable man, tamas will be something like 80% or 75%. Rajas will be 22-23% or 20%, 5% sattva. You come to animal, you will have 70% rajas, 25 or 20 or 15% sattva. Balance, like that, you know, the proportion.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So the animal souls are definitely better than mineral and vegetable. But you need to evolve more. You can't just be stuck at the level of caste and community. Supposing there is a need for a certain cause, and you want to do some philanthropy, so you have kept aside some money. I'm just giving an example. Somebody has decided to do some philanthropy from the money they're earning, and they've kept aside certain money. They say, anything to do with my community, there is a need, I'll do. Well, you have an obligation towards your family, your community, maybe. But that should not stop there. And let's say, in your community level, things are happening fine. Whereas in the other community, they need this because they are suffering in it. But you will not say this money will help them. Only within my community.
Okay.
No? Supposing there is nobody who needs your money to educate their children or something from your community. Or, I mean, I've seen this in the world, you know, many times. People are stuck at certain levels. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, it's individual. We are not judging here. We are sitting and giving the class. We need to give certain examples for us to think. I am not judging anybody here. I'm not criticizing anybody. But we need to understand is how it functions. We cannot go and do it outside that. Unless there is more sattva. When sattva is high, then you do that. There is rajas and tamas. You will not do that. Can't.
Guruji, like there are some people who are very philanthropic, very nice, they'll do anything, but for the other caste, like if people die, even whatever happens, you know, so they'll say, oh good, these people have died, they are of this caste. You know, otherwise they are very good people, but somehow, you know what I'm talking about. So, will that also be animal kind of behavior, right?
So you're saying they will help the other people also, huh?
No, they won't. They will help, I mean, a much wider range than just their own community and all, but a certain section of people whom they don't like, if even innocent people die. Say like today Gaza strip bombing and all that. Good. They are all this caste, so good they are dying. So what would you say? This is also not right, no? If innocents are...
Yes, of course. See,
so they'll also...
Now you are taking giving a little different example. So there are more data are there, so we need to analyze it from a different angle also.
Right.
First of all, purely my personal view. The war that is happening today anyway, whether it is in Israel or in Russia and Ukraine or even tomorrow between India and other countries, God forbid such a thing should not happen anywhere, not only here, anywhere. But it's unfortunate that sometimes these things happen. Now, what kind of a war is this? Both sides, I'm saying. Both sides, they're bombarding innocent people. And most of the war nowadays happen overnight. See, during Mahabharata time, we have read in the story that there was some agreement.
Yes.
Between this time to this time, we'll fight.
Suryast ke baad nahi.
Suryast ke baad nahi. At least that rule was followed till Bhishma Pitamaha was there. And they won't kill each other, they won't fight with each other after 6. In fact, they may sit and eat lunch, dinner together.
Right.
Both the camps. But in the morning, they'll go and start the war. And it was only between amongst themselves. And amongst equals they were fighting. Whereas, nowadays, when you say war, you bombard the hospitals, you bombard the schools, you bombard, everybody is doing this. And most of it is happening in the night.
Right.
This is very unfortunate. Obviously, that's going to fit in the category of animals.
Right.
It's going to fit in the category of humans. If you think, you will say, are you okay? Even if we have to fight, let's say all other methods fail. So we have to fight now, what else to do? Chalo, theek hai. But then, this is not the way. Just want children in the hospital, pregnant women. It's just incredible. Yeah? Animals only, what else it is?
Yeah.
Animals sometimes have certain feelings. Then you find that this category of people are even like vegetables. Not necessarily only animals. They don't care. It is so emotionless. See there. Either it is emotionless or restricted emotions towards their own circle. That's the problem. That's what he's talking about. You all come under that kind that category if you have this kind of nature. That's all he's saying. So you better check that quality. With those people who have that, you should know how to behave. And also with yourself, you have to check whether you have such traits. Sometimes, you know, we also fall into such traits. You've got to be careful. So this is the thing. Today's situation is, I don't even call them as war. War is a different meaning. Fight with each other. Only the army people are fighting with each other. Therefore, the Hindus and now in the name, all this they do. You see, in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, even children born today are affected. But you know, it's very unfortunate. But the other side also, for example, the argument that people who used a nuclear bomb, atom bomb in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, what they say, unless we did that, they didn't stop. We had no choice but to do this. Now you go talk to them, they'll give their own justifications. Where are we heading? It's very... inhuman. Very, very inhuman.
Right.
So we can't really take sides and say these people are better, that people are better. Who started? We get into all the discussions.
No, I'm saying, Guruji, that okay, they are fighting between them, each doing worse thing than the other. That's a part. Like here, if we are discussing,
they will come under the animal category.
Yeah, I know well-read people. They say, "Acha hai, us caste ke log mar rahe hai." I say that is. I find that very insensitive. Huh?
Exactly. That's what it is. It is insensitive. People are very, see the, that's why I'm saying beyond that boundary you don't have emotions. Generalize, judging, generalization happens. That should not
happen. But why I got disturbed is, I won't name him, but he's a very, very big Vedantic scholar from Vrindavan, whose lecture I was attending. One day somebody had kept it. And he said this. And that disturbed me.
So, I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway.
What he said, that good that they're dying.
Yeah, good that, you know, Muslims are dying. That kind of a thing. Jo bhi ho raha hai, theek, at least that caste is dying. So that, and coming from a very famous Vedantic philosopher, that disturbed me. And that's why I posed this question to you.
Yeah. See, the thing is, that is what I'm saying, no? We generalize. We can't do that. We can't generalize and say, everybody in one community are like this. I mean, this is unfortunate. What you're saying, I am able to understand. So that's very unfortunate. See, hatred, you know, cannot, very interesting, when he gives 35 qualities of a bhakta, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, The first quality he talks about is Advesha Sarvabhutam. He says, hate no being. You should have no hatred. Where is he saying? He's saying this in the Bhagavad Gita. When is he saying? When he's telling Arjuna, kill them. See, these things we need to fit and see. He's telling Arjuna, kill them. Please fight. When you fight, you want to kill them, maybe. Maybe these ones, you have to. Or they may kill you. Both are possible. While killing, he says, kill without hatred. Are you with me? You should not have hatred. But when you have hatred, that is, when you say, ah, they deserve to die. That shows your hatred, then it doesn't go with spiritual abuse. But it is not that, sometimes you know what happens is, you say, yeah, how can you be spiritual and you are saying kill also? And you don't understand the concept of ahimsa correctly. Ahimsa doesn't mean don't kill at all. I am talking on Bhagavad Gita, as I am talking, I am killing so many insects. I am not able to see them fine, but I am killing. If I am sitting, I am killing. I am walking, I am killing. I am standing, I am killing. What can I do? So, sometimes in life, whether you are Buddha or Mahavira, whoever you may be, you inadvertently might have to kill. That intention is not there to harm any being. But ahimsa is not to be seen as a weakness in you. I won't kill. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita he says, please understand, nobody can be killed because everyone is essentially Atma, which has no birth, no death. Atma has no birth, no death. And therefore you cannot kill anybody. You can only kill the body, mind, intellect. So, do it with no hatred. Purely as a, what do you call it? Obligation in the context. So you have the feeling, you have the emotion, but you keep that emotion to your control and do it as an obligation. That is different from the way when people develop hatred for each other. Now that cannot be spiritual. You cannot hate in the name of caste, creed, community, sex, religion, color, anything for the matter. That's what you are asking, Maritaji. So, I do agree with you in that sense, you know. Cannot be,
yes.
If it is, if the hatred is there, then I don't think so. At least to me, it doesn't work like spiritual.
Yeah, thanks, Guruji. I made it clear. Yeah.
Continue, please.
The human persons are far less selfish than the above three categories. They have much wider interests. Some identify themselves with their nationals, others with all humanity, etc. These do not find any distinction or demarcation within their enclave. Being favorably disposed, they advance the good of those who fall within the boundary of their circle. But not so with those who transgress their boundary. The same who are benign to their own nationals turn malign to other nationals. Thus one nation is set against another, resulting in wars after wars. The pages of history are stained with bloodshed. The good earth has turned into a veritable hell.
Yes. Human beings are far less selfish. They identify with their species. Beyond that, they don't. So that's what he's saying. Some identify themselves with their nationals. There also there's, you know, predation. Maximum they go up to human beings. Some people go only up to their nation. Some community they go up to their nation. So all these, Vikaji, if you go by the way Swamiji is discussing, it will be somewhere between animal and human, some category.
Okay.
They can't think of anything beyond their nation. Beyond their community. It's somewhere between Manipur and the way Swamiji is describing. But you don't have to look at it from that angle. You can look at it from a different angle. You can clearly say they are animal-like. You know?
Right.
The way he is describing is that bandwidth is giving from the level of nation to the human species. The other species, they don't care. Continue. Continue, Pooja.
Sorry, Guruji, I went on mute. Similarly, those that identify with humanity are amiable and sacrificial to humans, irrespective of color or creed, community or country. But their bearing, their treatment towards other creatures is distinct and different. They would destroy animals or birds or fishes for the sake of their palate. Food has no taste before it reaches the tongue, nor after it leaves the tongue. Yet for the few seconds' pleasure, they do not hesitate to slaughter millions upon millions of innocent creatures day after day. Just because these creatures are not represented in the UNO, nor even in the SPCA or PETA.
So what he's saying is there's a bandwidth in human species where they maximum identify with their own nation or the continent, maximum up to their human level, that's all. When it comes to animals, they don't care. I won't even go to the extent of what Swamiji is saying. Okay, fine, you have to eat because you have to survive or so many other reasons maybe. You are eating it. But at least, you know, there has to be a certain way in which you deal with. I mean, if you see certain videos, it's unbelievable. The way they treat the animals in the slaughterhouse is inhuman. Even you see on the road sometimes, the chicken are being carried in a way as if they are just objects. You know? So that's what he's talking about. There is zero identification. Zero feeling towards other species. There are human beings like them. So that's what he's saying. Continue.
The God person is one who has shifted focus from the terrestrial world to the transcendental reality, who is self-realized, God-realized, has reached the state of absolute peace and bliss. In him, selfishness is totally annihilated. His love is all-embracing, universal, pervading everywhere, nowhere in particular. His identification is with one and all, none in preference. He is free from all worldly division and demarcation. His individuality has merged with the unifying divinity. Rare indeed is such a person. Wow.
So, a God person is one who has reached the self within. When you have reached the self within, you understand the same self that manifests in every species. So then your identification is with the entire world, not just with humanity, all the species. What you have is only love. There is zero hatred to any species. That is what he is saying. He is free from all worldly division and demarcation. His individuality has merged with the unifying divinity. Where indeed is such a person? Where do you find such a person nowadays? Way down the line, we are all stuck. Beyond that, we are not even thinking to grow. Continue.
In the lowest category, one's love is confined to one's individuality. When the human evolves to the next category, he rises to the level of his family. No more. As he evolves further, his love embraces enlarging circles. In the final stage of evolution, the God person, the self-realized soul radiates love, peace and happiness everywhere to every being.
So in the lowest level, there is no love except himself. In the highest level, there is only love, there is no hatred. In between, somewhere we are all there. Continue.
Life's mission is to evolve to the highest state, to discover your real self, to return to your original nature of divinity. Be not static. Stagnation is decay, death. Follow the example of flowing rivers, not stagnant ponds. Rivers are steadfast, tireless in striving to reach their goal, the ocean. No obstacle can stop their determined pursuit. They reduce boulders to pebbles, track round hills and valleys, fall from precipices, but never stop until they merge with the ocean. Thus must you pursue your Supreme Self. Make your way towards Godhood. That is your birthright. Wherever you are, whatever you be, keep moving towards your ultimate goal of self-realization, God-realization.
So that's what I think. One should not get stuck at any level. It's okay when you find this, when you read this, you understand that you are at a certain level. What to do? You have to keep on evolving. You are at the mineral, go to vegetable. You are at the vegetable, go to animal. You are at the animal, go to human. You are at the human. Try to relate to Godhead. Try to get back to yourself. Find the center. Don't try to remain in the periphery. The idea is to move from the periphery to the center. So that's what you think. That's your birthright. Work for it and claim it. Wherever you are, whatever you be, keep moving towards your ultimate goal of self-realization, God-realization. Do not allow anything to stop you. Keep moving. Stagnation is the sin. Stagnating at any point is a problem. You know, you got to keep moving. It's fine, you move from this level to that level. Don't stagnate. From there you move to another level. You may be an animal better than vegetable, but you have to move towards human. When you come to human, you got to go towards the Godhead within. That's what he's saying. Let's stop now. Let's conclude the class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Udyatmana Va Prakrute Swabhava Karomi Yadya Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samarpayami. Hari Om.
Hari Om.